Welcome, everybody, to TTJ Talk, produced by the Tech Juggernaut at ttjtech.net. Alrighty, folks, we are super excited to have you joining us. We really do appreciate your support here at the TTJ Talk Podcast. And remember, every Tuesday and Thursday from now until at least April 30th, or whenever the government says we're allowed to go out and about again, until that time, we're offering virtual help sessions. That's right, since you can't go into an Apple store, retail store, and a lot of other places to get your tech help, we're trying to be a part of the solution. And so the Tech Juggernaut is providing these help sessions every Tuesday and Thursday afternoon at 1 p.m. Eastern. That's noon Central. What is it? 11 Mountain and 10 a.m. Pacific. You can do the math. But it's 1 p.m. Eastern every Tuesday and Thursday. Virtual help sessions right here at ttjtech.net. We use the Zoom app. Not going to give you the Zoom meeting ID here on this podcast, but if you want to learn more, please visit us at ttjtech.net. It's all over the homepage, recent blog posts. You can subscribe to our blog. You can go to the training page and see training schedules, and you can see the events on the calendar. So please check that out. We'd love to have you. Whether you have sight or no sight, whether you use VoiceOver or not, anything about Apple products and media streaming and learning from home, teaching your kids. What else? We talk about home automation and security. We talk about Wi-Fi networking, all sorts of things. We hope you'll join us at our virtual help sessions. All right. So as you all know, we are celebrating the 10th anniversary of the introduction of the iPad. And that is right. 10 years ago, Apple introduced this, what they call magical and revolutionary product. Now, in today's podcast, as part of their iPad tribute, we're talking to some people about what the iPad means to them. And there's no better place to start than right at home. Now, I asked if my son would be in this podcast, but he was a little bit shy. He didn't want to do that right now. So we're going to share his perspective. But we do have a very special guest who did agree to be in the podcast, and that is my daughter, Kylie. Give her a round of applause. Okay, now Kylie's here with us.
Hi.
And we're so glad you decided to be on our podcast. I think this is the first time you're actually going to be on a TTJ Talk podcast.
Wasn't I on there before?
I don't remember, but you were on a video about
the iPad.
Yeah,
that's what I meant.
You remember that video?
That's what I meant, but we were cray.
Well, we were sort of goofy, but we did pretty good, though. Everybody loves that video. We used Apple Clips to make that video. We like to be silly.
No, we were cray.
Well, okay, we were, but we like to be silly, don't we?
But we were cray.
Now, tell everybody. Tell everybody about... It's on now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're good. Okay. We must have accidentally turned off the microphone there. All right. So
that was a funny incident.
Yes, it was. So tell everybody about you got your iPad right there in front of you right now.
Yeah, I do.
And how much do you enjoy using the iPad?
I use it since we're like at home most of the time now, except for when we're getting a couple of groceries. We are just doing school and relaxing at home. So I've been using my iPad like, I'd say like 50% of the day.
Okay, maybe. Now.
Especially because we have to do our work online.
Right.
Especially for Matt.
Right.
But work doesn't take too long from what I have.
Do you enjoy using the iPad for work?
Yes.
You do. Why is it fun to use iPads in school or for your school work instead of just...
They have like cool apps like IXL. You click on IXL.
Let's give them a demo of IXL. You want to?
Yeah.
You don't have to go the whole way through a lesson, but
Yeah. So you can choose your little icon for your profile.
How old are you, by the way? Tell everybody how old.
I am 7. About to be 8, August 7th.
There you go. Okay.
And you get awards every so often once you complete a lesson. And you can actually make one of those awards your icon. So right now I have a turkey as my icon, but I should switch that because it's now Easter. So I click awards and go to language arts. If you want a language arts awards, I don't know if you can do it with math, but I'm going to click on, and I actually only need one more award to complete all language arts awards.
Is that right?
Yes.
In your entire grade?
Well, in my entire language arts.
Wow.
I'm going to pick the flamingo. So you hold the flamingo, and then there will be a little thing that says set as your icon. You click on that. And then your icon now becomes the flamingo or whatever you press. That's a cool thing about that. And then there, you can click on math and you go to your math awards. There's this little section called diagnostic. I don't honestly know what it does.
Diagnostic. It's like probably...
I don't know what it does, but because I've never been in it, we don't really use that part. But yeah, there are some recommendations. And... like, this one says, math, first grade. Try something new. Math, second grade. We are only allowed to click on second grade because I am in second grade.
Now, you probably don't want to start a lesson because if you do, then you would have to finish it to get credit for it, right? We don't want to mess up your score. Oh, you can start it and pause it? Oh.
Yeah, but...
Mommy says we can start and pause it. Let's start one so you can show them the kinds of questions.
And then you click on practice, and that's the ones that you're in. You can choose your grade by clicking on... right now, mine says second grade. There's a little arrow that's going down. You will press on that, and then there's pre-K, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, and up.
Okay.
There's, like, algebra, too.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to say that.
You're right. It's geometry. You were right.
Pre-calculus and calculus, too.
Wow. So what if we do a math or a language arts? What do you want to do real quick? Just give them one question.
In second grade, we got these. We used to only have math and language arts, but now we have science and social studies.
Oh, cool.
I haven't clicked on those yet. We haven't got any assignments in social studies.
Okay.
Or science. But I'm going to do a language arts because I do most of mine in there. All right. I am already on W1.
That's pretty far along.
And there is, after Z, there is AA, BB, and so on. And then there's also, when you get to past ZZ, there is AAA, and that's it.
Wow.
For language arts.
Okay.
So, I'm going to do what I'm on. I am on W1.
Okay.
And there's only one in W.
Alright.
Okay. This one says, I'll even show you, it says it on your own. I'm going to turn it up the full way because it might be a little quiet.
You want to learn about how to do yoga. Which book should you pick?
There is either You Can Do Yoga or... I don't know what that says, actually. and it will not say that for me, but it is You Can Do Yoga, and that means you got it.
Good job.
Now I'm going to do the wrong thing so you can hear what it actually sounds like. Okay, so table of contents, downward facing dog, what? is two, cat pose, cow pose, 5, cobra pose, 7, tree pose, 8, mountain pose, 10, warrior poses, 11, happy baby pose, 13. So it'd be page 7, page 11, or page 13. Which one?
What do they want you to do? Identify...
what?
I'm not even sure what they want there. Do you know?
Okay, no.
Well?
Oh, okay. It's for the warrior page.
Oh, so you're going to get the wrong answer on purpose?
Yes. It would be 11, but I'm going to press 13. That means you got it wrong.
That's what it sounds like when you got it wrong. You don't hear that sound very often, I bet.
No.
Okay. Well, that was really good. So that's iXL, and students can practice their various subject areas. And that's not the only app you use for school, right?
No, it's not.
Google Classroom.
We have Google Classroom, which, what was that one app you were talking about Apple that's sort of like it?
Well, iTunes U, we use with our students.
iTunes U, it's like that.
Yeah.
You click on it, you click on your Google Classroom, and then you can add a class, and once you get in, there's a little plus in the corner. You add your classes. Right now, I have second grade Mrs. Baker, second grade Mrs. Zembauer, she's my music teacher, second grade my art teacher, and my normal teacher.
And all these teachers can post, videos and audio, and they can post assignments in there.
I actually didn't have to do any work today, so.
No, today you had a day off. You didn't have to do any work today. So you use the iPad for all kinds of stuff in school. Now, let me ask
you. You should check out Epic. It's actually really cool. You just have to sign in and put your class in, and you just can, you can read books. Recommended for you. Read to you, videos, read to me, stuff like that. And you can also search. There is your change icon. You can change your icons throughout the thing. You can you can win them, and then you can choose your icon. 'Cause I have a couple. I don't have too many. There's a lot. And then you can also pick, your background color. You can pick your little circle that goes around your icon. And you can also pick a pattern on it, like plain, lines, polka dots, and, cheetah print. That's that. And then there's Reading Raz or whatever it's called, something like that. Raz A to Z, something like that.
Is that another app?
Yes. And it's almost the same thing. You get to, they read it to you. You pick a story. They read it to you. Then you have to read it. And then you have to answer questions about the book.
That is really cool. That's really awesome. You like learning anyway, but does the iPad make learning even better, even more fun?
Yes.
And yeah? And now, what else? We're learning something else because you decided that you and Daddy, totally apart from school, you wanted to learn what?
Spanish.
And so tell them about the what we're doing with that.
Oh, I need to do mine today.
Yeah, we'll have to do it today.
We'll do it right now.
Well,
we can show them.
We can show them a little.
The app is called Duolingo?
Duolingo.
Duolingo. It's a little owl face. It's green. It's spelled Duolingo.
And you and Daddy are both doing this on our own iPads every day. They ask you to do 5 minutes worth, and we each have an account. You each get a free language.
So everything you get wrong on your lesson, you lose a heart. You have five hearts to start out, and by the end of the lesson, you at least have to have one heart. You cannot finish the lesson without at least one heart. So, I haven't gone without one heart, so I'd probably say there will be an ad to get at least one more, because you can't just keep doing it through the whole night. You have to go to sleep at one point.
Although we've been staying up late, haven't we?
Yes, we don't have to go to
don't have to get up
bed and go to school.
Nope.
Besides, we could stay up late anyway.
Late night ice cream and all kinds of fun stuff.
We have a really good ice cream kind.
It's chocolate. It's called peanut butter cup
or something.
Yes, it's really good.
Peanut butter cup. And there's little there's peanut butter in it.
There's actual little pieces of peanut butter cup. Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And then it's chocolate ice cream and then the peanut butter.
Yeah. Now I have a question.
Intro. You have to start out.
Yeah. Let's show them that just real quick. We'll do one part of a lesson.
Phrases. That's the one I'm on right now.
Right.
That's the one after intro.
Yo soy Juan.
I'll tell you what it wants me to say in English. Let me turn it up.
Sí, yo soy Juan.
Now, there's one word in there they didn't teach you yet, but you probably know what it is, that first word. Yeah. What does that mean?
See. Yes.
Yeah, that's correct.
I knew it.
And then, do you have to type the answer or just select it in this challenge?
I have to select
it. Okay, so yes. Now, what is yo?
Yo is I.
Correct.
Soy. Yes. I don't think they teach me that yet.
Yes, they did.
Good?
No, no, no. Soy, like I...
am.
Am. And the name.
And then it's just the same thing as the last word.
Juan. And that means it's correct.
Lo siento.
You.
Lo siento.
Lo siento.
What, do you have to translate that one too?
Mm-hmm. Is lo you?
Nope. It's... an expression. Lo siento is an expression. Remember, like...
I'm sorry?
That's it.
I am sorry.
Now do one more, and then we'll stop that for now, so we can talk about other things. Do one more.
De nada.
What do they want you to do this time?
De nada.
De nada. Like the same thing.
Okay. De nada. Didn't we not have that one yet, did we?
No.
We didn't learn that one
yet.
That's a new one.
I'll give you a hint.
Thank you?
It's what you say after somebody says thank you.
Welcome. You're
welcome.
Welcome.
Good job. And then we'll pause right there. We'll finish.
Oh, this one's a speaking one.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Okay, we'll do this one. This, you have to press a mic and hold it until you're done saying the thing. So I have to say,
de nada.
De nada.
And you got it right.
Yeah.
Perdón.
All right, you can just pause it for now and we'll finish it. So she has to sometimes speak the answer, sometimes type the answer, sometimes
I haven't got a type one yet.
You haven't had a type one yet?
No.
I had a type one.
He had a type one. He hasn't really had one that I had, which is the speaking one.
Well, we started in the same place, but because I have had Spanish in school.
No.
No?
We didn't start in the same place.
Well, we started in the same category, but higher up. They gave me additional XP.
No. That's not even true.
It isn't? Are you sure?
I started. It chooses you new to Spanish.
Oh, well, right.
Or already know some Spanish.
Yes, and I had to take a test.
He had to take a test because he already knows some. I knew like 3 words. Like, I knew 0 to 10. That's about it. Like, it was 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's all I knew.
And now you even know how to say, he eats apples.
Yeah, but not that good.
No? You don't want to say it yet?
Not.
Okay.
I'm not
really. All right. So we have all kinds of learning activities and so many different ways we can learn. But let me ask you a question for all the folks out there who I'm sure are wondering. Is the only thing you ever do on the iPad learning and work?
No way.
What else do you like to do on the iPad?
Watch YouTube. YouTube is an app. There is a bunch of YouTubes, but I have the one that's just called YouTube. And you click on YouTube, and there's a bunch of videos that people actually, like...
upload.
Yeah. They record it. So there's YouTube Kids, which allows you to not have, like... what would I say for this?
Like inappropriate videos or things that are too...
like scary things.
Scary or bad language or things you shouldn't be seeing anyway.
That's what YouTube Kids is. That's the only 2 YouTubes I know of, but I'm sure there's other kinds of YouTube. But that's the one I use. I used to use that the most, but now I'm on Netflix most of my time. Netflix is something like that, but it shows. Like Fuller House. I just actually... finished Fuller House, but I actually went back to the beginning because I might watch it again. I have my own profile, so it says continue watching for Kylie. There's Fuller House, Green Eggs and Ham, and Sophia the First.
That you've already watched,
then. Yes, and I haven't finished.
And those are just a few of the apps.
Yeah.
You have all kinds of. We're about to draw when we're done with this podcast with our Apple Pencil.
I'm charging it right now.
Logitech crayon. People can use. Grubhub to order food. They can do their grocery. We do our grocery list on there, right?
Actually, yeah. I want to show them an Apple Arcade game.
Arcade game?
Actually, not an arcade game. A different game. Like normal game.
Let's show them something they can hear the... like, let's show them 5-second guess from my phone.
No, my iPad.
Do you have 5-second guess on your iPad?
No, but I have Chatter Kids.
What's that?
I'll show you.
Okay.
Duck, moose.
Oh, it's a duck, duck, moose game.
Yeah.
Welcome to ChatterPix.
You can select take a photo or gallery. I'm going to take a photo. You take a photo, Daddy. Smile.
Okay.
Need to flip the camera. Okay. 3, 2, 1. All right. Let's see. That works.
Okay.
Now you have to draw a line with your finger on the mouth or wherever you want it to be. Then there's a little speaker that will turn red. You press it, and it'll say 3, 2, 1, go. And then you speak what you want to speak, and you can stop it when you want to.
Record in 3, 2, 1, go.
Hello, I'm Daddy.
Hello, I'm Daddy.
Are you, though?
Then there's a little next in the top right corner. And you have to... Is this landscape mode or portrait?
You're holding it in portrait mode right now.
You put it in portrait mode, and then in the right, in the top right corner, there will be a next button. You click that, then you can pick your filter, sticker, frame, and text. You don't have to do that, but I'm going to put it in rainbow, and then I'm going to add a pirate hat. And then a guitar over there. And then headphones for him to wear. Okay. Then you can pick a frame. I'm not going to use a frame. And then you can press text. There is a bunch of text you can use, but I'm going to use cursive. And I'm going to use in black. Actually, in teal. Like a bluish teal. I'm going to say hello. Done. Then you can put that anywhere, but mine is in cursive. And then I'm going to press next, which is in the same corner. And then you press play.
Hello, I'm Daddy.
And there you go.
And what does it show? Like a photo with all that, yeah, that you did, all those, yeah, effects and filters?
And then you can, then where the next button would be, it would be in gallery. And then the left hand, the top left corner, would be a back button. You would go back and you can change things.
You do it again.
Now I go in my cat gallery. There's a bunch of them, actually.
Now, can you share those outside the app? Does it have a share button?
That you can, like, not that I see, but I bet you can.
You would think, right?
You can. I bet you could.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of Gigi on here.
Really? Our cousin?
Yes.
Now, what else? Another thing I want to tell people real quick before we finish up is about something else, especially during...
All right. Well, welcome.
Hello.
It's been a while since we've done one of these.
It's been a minute.
It sure has. Well, I guess, I trust you and the family are doing well there.
Yeah, we're doing, you know, another day woke is another day blessed, though.
So. Yeah, exactly. Praise God. Yeah, same here. And I'll tell you what, the kids are really liking their new lifestyle of having the flexibility to stay up late, get up late, and then get their schoolwork done whenever they choose to. So they're enjoying that.
Yeah, as long as they get it done, I guess.
Yeah, yep, exactly. And they are. They're doing well with that, which is an interesting, place to start on this. Not really where I intended to start, but, a lot of people have suggested now for quite some time that eventually, it may take, a number of years yet, because sometimes change is slow to happen, but, that eventually schools will be more of a combining of some in-person education and some online education. Do you see that working for your family? I mean.
Yeah, I think where it would come into play would be like science for labs and maybe some computer stuff, and you definitely can't. I think we had this conversation the other day. You can't teach auto shop online, but
right.
I mean, because there's some stuff that you got to do hands on. But as for the curriculum, like math, science, reading, language arts and stuff like that. All that can be done, I think, online. I mean, especially when you have the ability to email your teachers, you know, at the tap of a button or whatever. So, I mean, the thing that some people hesitate with, though, is because you don't want the kids to become antisocial. You want them to be able to interact with their own age group. Yeah. And then pending this coronavirus thing, you know, getting back into athletics and, book clubs and things of that nature. So, I mean, that there's a lot of elements that go into it, but I definitely see that it could be done. I mean, get all the schoolwork done and show up at 3 o'clock for sports practice or 1 o'clock, whatever.
Right.
Make the day a little shorter. So, I mean,
yeah, that's how I feel about it. I think those are all great points. I think, I understand why we have the temporary restrictions and guidelines that we do, but I certainly don't believe that we are meant to live in a socially distant kind of way. You got to have a balance there somewhere. But yeah, I think there are aspects of it. And it really does seem like these devices, the iPads and so forth, are really making that 1,000% easier. Now, I'm trying to remember, your kids have iPads at their schools. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. And they came up with a little fancy name for our district. Did your district come up with, because they call ours distance learning is what they call homeschool thing. So.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. They're just kind of using the term of online learning, I think. The last I heard it here. But so what is the basis at your district for the are you guys using Apple Classroom or Google Classroom, or what do they use there?
They're using Skyward for like attendance and stuff like that to make sure they're well. That's where we check the kids' grades and when they were in school.
Right.
You could get the bus schedule, the lunch menu and stuff like that. So that's really not an element now. But the main thing they're using, and it's been overwhelmed the first week because I guess the servers didn't expect such a great usage, but they're using Schoolology. Now, they are using Google Meet, for live interaction, but for most of their schoolwork, it's Schoolology.
Oh, and is that where they, as an alternative to something like, I guess you can't use Apple Classroom because that's an in-person thing, but as an alternative to like iTunes U or Google Classroom.
Right. It's basically, I'm assuming it's the same thing. I've never went in there and tried to create a course. I think it's designed specifically for schools because, again, Schoolology, but I'm assuming you can go in there. Yeah, I mean, but that's where they get all their curriculum from. I mean,
oh, okay.
Classrooms are not classrooms, but teachers are able to, upload the class courses for the day. They have folders with dates on them, deadlines and stuff of that nature. I think they even have quizzes and stuff in there that they can complete and get graded right away. So,
okay. So now,
because your district is using, Google Chromebooks then, huh? So I'm assuming they use Google Classroom.
Yeah, they are a Chromebook district, unfortunately, I always say, but at least in the upper elementary and beyond. Now, actually, Kylie is our daughter is still they use iPads in K through second grade, but
that's kind of weird.
It is, and I don't remember the circumstances that led to that exact discrepancy there, but. But yeah, they are using Google Classroom pretty heavily, which of course works just fine on, iPad OS and iOS devices. There's no, problem there. And
so is Carson able to log into Google Classroom on his iPad instead of using the Chromebook, or is that not allowed?
Yes, he can log into Google. In fact, he's used his phone, some of the time. Now, there are certain things that, he would have to download different apps or whatever. So it's just easier to use the Chromebook because it's already set up for him. But yeah, he could really do it in whatever way that he wants. Absolutely.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. With the Schoology, I think you could log in to it on your personal iPad, but it's not necessary based on the fact that the school gives them iPads.
Right.
I don't know if they had to order more or, I would assume not, because I think they already had them for the elementary school. They just weren't allowed to bring them home. But when this, thing started, they decided, okay, we're going to have to have the parents pick them up or have them dropped off, whatever the case may be. So this wasn't all, for lack of a better term, an all Apple district already. So,
right.
I mean, there were PCs in the office when I went to register them for school, but all the teachers and counselors and principals have MacBook Pros on their desk. So,
yeah. Now, the iPad, of course, has just turned 10. I mean, that's the big thing we've been talking about. And I guess in most cases, we were aware you were already using Apple products by the time the iPad was unveiled back in 2010, right?
Barely. I never touched the iPad. I didn't touch an iPad until the third generation. And I didn't get an iPhone until the 4. So,
it was actually a little bit after that.
Yeah, so I got my first Mac in it was my Father's Day present in June of 2011, so.
Oh, okay. All right. So what were your thoughts when you first discovered the iPad or first heard about it or touched it or what have you?
I thought it was a great device. Now, back then, Bluetooth keyboards were not a big thing, so people mostly used them, touchscreen, which was fine. But as I discussed in our class the other day, I was frustrated with the iPad because I didn't know how to use the rotor. I didn't know how to navigate efficiently with all the extra real estate. And I don't even know. You could tell me better than I would know. Back then, because of the size of the iPad, was there already a split screen or was it just one big page?
Well, there was always the split screen presentation within apps, where you had like in Mail the list of messages on the left and the actual body of the message on the right. That's always been the case since day one. You did not have split screen multitasking like we do today in any form.
Okay. So essentially, Sherry, my wife, is the one who used the iPad back then. I preferred my phone because it was a small screen. I knew what I was doing and I could navigate. And up until about 3 years ago, I was a heavy Mac user anyway. So I would do everything on the Mac, I could use keyboard commands and I knew what I was doing and, it just worked. But as you know, the iPad got a little bigger, more apps got integrated into it, and the navigation got smoother with VoiceOver. So as the years went on, I eventually, little by little, weaned my way off the Mac, off the computer aspect of it, and completely replaced my computer with an iPad back in 2017.
Yeah, and that's something I would love to talk a little more about. Of course, you and I talk about it all the time. And we talk about it in class too, but for the folks who are listening here from other places and so forth, I think when Apple created, I mean, it's my guess, of course, we know we can't speak for Apple because we just don't know, but it's my guess that Apple wasn't even really sure where they were going to go with this device. I think that it was one of those things of kind of wait and see what consumers demanded and what businesses demanded and schools. I remember reading an article recently about how when the idea of adding a camera to the very first iPad was discussed, people kind of laughed it off in a humorous way, and of course did not have the first version did not have a camera, and they kind of jokingly thought about this crazy idea of why would people carry their iPad around and take photos or videos with it. But actually that's exactly what people are doing.
The iPad has changed over the years, because remember, I think it was the third or fourth generation, remember, it used to have that mute switch that the phone has.
Yes, that's right, that's exactly right.
I've never figured out or asked anybody why that switch or why they took haptic feedback out of the iPad, but maybe it was something software related and they wanted to put other elements to make the battery last longer or something. I really don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I've heard that in the location where that switch used to be, the first device, I think it was the iPad Air or Air 2, that where the switch was removed, there was an extra microphone put in its place. And of course, now the iPad, at least the iPad Pro, has like 5 microphones. So I couldn't even tell you where all of those are located exactly, to be honest. But
yeah, I believe if we didn't have to have a way to turn the iPad on with a button, there would be no buttons on the iPad Pro. But you know,
right? Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're exactly right. so the idea of course, let's revisit, as I said, that this idea that you and I have both done of replacing the computer with the iPad. For me, I was just sort of already doing it. You know, I wasn't going out of my way to try. I had a Mac. In fact, I had in 2015, I guess, I got the Retina MacBook, you know, which was a small device, but still, you know.
Yeah, I remember that because I got one shortly after that.
Right, right.
For my business, so.
Right. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't something I had to do. I had
that was a short-lived device, too. It was only 2 versions of that. What, right? The MacBook?
Yeah.
Not the MacBook Pro and not the MacBook Air, so we can make clear to the audience. It was actually called MacBook, so.
That's right. And I think
it was only 12 inches, so it was the medium between the Pro and the Air.
It was the medium. And I think once the MacBook Air got the Retina display is possibly when they discontinued the Retina MacBook. I don't remember anymore, but I do remember thinking that they wouldn't be very likely to continue both of those models, you know, at the same time. And you know, it ended up that they dropped the MacBook, not the Air. So yeah, that was interesting. But I was just more and more using the iPad and the iPhone, especially once I got the 9.7 inch iPad Pro. And that was in 2015 or 2016, somewhere around there. And so just more and more it was happening that I was doing it. And then, of course, I did make the statement that if I really am going to do this and use it in place of a full-fledged laptop, that I wanted a keyboard case. And actually, at that time, I had the smart keyboard that Apple made for the 9.7 inch iPad Pro.
Don't get me started on that.
That was just sort of happened. What was the experience for you? When was the deciding point, I guess, that you, you know, said I really could do this?
Well, I mean, as you know, we've been bouncing stuff off each other for like, it's been what, 6 years now, I guess. We've been going, you know, we've had conference calls together and stuff like that. And then when you introduced this free Apple stuff and asked me to come on board, I was fine with the voiceover class, but then you got into the iPad course and then, as you know, I got the 6th generation right before you started teaching the class that year. And as I followed along and put my input where I could, because, again, I didn't know much about the iPad. And that summer after that class, I decided to, you know, I didn't even use the Mac no more. I just, you know, I did the same thing with the Mac that I did with Windows when I first got my Mac. I closed it up. I didn't sell it, but I did close it up and, you know, I barely essentially used it because I wanted to see what I actually could do with the iPad. And there was nothing that I couldn't do because I, at that time, wasn't using external drives anyway. I could still, you know, connect to my server through an app made by Western Digital, the MyCloud app, as you know, it connects to it just fine. You just enter your credentials, and as long as you're on the same Wi-Fi network, even if you're not on the same Wi-Fi network, you can, you know, connect to it. So I had no need for the computer no more. I mean, I could email, I could send and save attachments. I could download files. I could, organize my photo library. I could back it up to another service like P Cloud or Google Photos. I mean, there was nothing on my iPad as an average consumer that I could not do. I mean, I could even, you know, write my notes and do stuff in Pages. And even, I'm not a Keynote person, but I know from talking to you that it is accessible. If I need a little bit of help, I got some sighted family or Apple accessibility that I could call. So to me, based on the fact that I could do 98 2% of what I used to do on the Mac and the 2% that I couldn't, I really had no need for anymore. That was my deciding factor. And then when they came out with the iPad Pro and Face ID, that revolutionized it for me, because I, you know, I Touch ID was fine, but being able to just look down and my iPad unlocked, it was you know now, because you have one. So I mean,
right.
It's much faster to me. People will say it's not, but to me it is.
Yeah, there's still a noticeable difference, absolutely. And then, of course, now, you know, average consumer, but then you and Sherry opened a cafe, and you really did run your business from the iPad.
Yes, we did. I mean, the ordering apps, like I used to have U.S. Foods was one of my distributors, and they had an app. Vistar had an app, and I was able to do most stuff from that app. And the things that I couldn't do, Sherry could do, and she's completely excited. And, you know, she was, you know, the floor manager anyway. So if there was something that needed to be ordered, she would know better than I would. So my job was basically to do payroll and hiring, firing, and, you know, do some marketing stuff and stuff like that. And of course I would jump on the register and get back there and do some dishes if, you know, we got busy. But essentially I was, you know, the owner, so I didn't have to do all that extra stuff. I wasn't a micromanager. If I gave you a job to do, I expected you to get it done. And if it didn't get done, then I'd come help out. But more times than not, I didn't have to do that. But yes, we ran our business from an iPad. We each had one, too. I don't like to share.
Yeah, I always, it's funny because that it is that, you know, the iPad really does, you know, it's very clear that that's meant to be a single user device, except in, you know, in education institutions where they have in Apple Classroom, you know, these profiles and so forth. But really and truly, it is the, you know, so yeah, so the you know, the Square card reader, the all of the things you needed to do for your business were you never felt like you needed any other device then.
Right. And then on top of that, I'm glad you brought that up, because I almost forgot that we ran our register from the iPad, from the Square stand, because it had a strip in front for swiping the credit cards. And then, of course, it had a drawer underneath that if they gave you cash, you would select cash, put the amount that they gave. The Square would tell you what their change was. You give it to them, close the drawer, and everything would register with a printout, or I would get an email, actually, of a report each day, because I, you know, paper, I use as little of it as possible. It even had an external printer if somebody did want to print a receipt. They did also have the option to get it texted to them or emailed to their phone. So.
Right, absolutely. Now, for both of us, of course, I imagine we're, you know, you could be listening, folks, to this podcast on either the Stir It Up podcast or on the TTJ Talk podcast. We often share when we do these collab ones. And so depending on where our audience is here, you know, I'm sure some of them have already heard me or you talk about this, but I think, you know, let's just go over. I mean, if somebody asks the question, you know, well, okay, so I see why I don't need a computer per se, maybe I can use the iPad, because you're saying, you know, you've run a business, you can create websites, you can do all these things, you know. But what about the other one that we hear sometimes? Well, I already have an iPhone. Isn't the iPad just a giant iPhone? Some people will say. How would you, you know, respond to that?
Well, that might have been true 3 or 4 years ago, but since, number one, last year, Apple gave the iPad its own S. Now it's called iPad OS. And two, there are certain apps that work on the iPad much smoother than they work on the phone. And there are actually some apps that are not even available
right
on the phone that are available right on the iPad. So, and when you get into a visual thing, I mean, as a blind consumer, the screen size and resolution doesn't matter to me, but as a sighted user, the screen and the retina and the screen resolution it makes it so much easier on the eyes, what I've been told, especially when you're working in an app like Pages or browsing on Safari or maybe watching a YouTube video or, you know, doing your social media stuff on Instagram or Facebook. It's just easier to do. And especially, I mean, even for us, you know, on the phone, and you can attest to this because you use your iPad on-screen keyboard as if it was a computer keyboard. And it gives you the space and the real estate to do that. You can't do that on your phone.
No, not at all. That's one of my favorites. So even though, you know, we don't see and we're not affected by, you know, that aspect of the larger screen, you know, the larger screen does actually mean something. The extra screen real estate does actually mean something to a voiceover user if you're taught how to properly take advantage of it. And, you know, the full-size on-screen keyboard, the multitasking where, you know, two apps open side by side.
Oh, I love that feature.
And drag and drop from one to the other. I mean, that's very, I mean, it's just incredible, you know.
Yes, it is. And on top of that, you know, the extra screen can sometimes help you because if you're, you know, swiping and typing, if you do the touch typing or if you're not using the on-screen keyboard, finding letters with that extra space is much easier when they're spaced out as opposed to scrunched together on the smaller phone, whether it's in landscape or portrait mode So.
And as you pointed out, there are actual apps that will only work on the iPad. You know, there are pro apps and there are certain functions that, you know, while they might work on an iPhone, are just going to be better done on an iPad. You know, your video editing, your audio with, you know, adapters to use for, you know, external microphones or MIDI keyboards or what have you.
Yes. Yes. And as I pointed out to them that you use the on-screen keyboard, but me, they call me the keyboard king. And there's a reason for that. If there's a key command or a shortcut, I'm going to find it. But that's another one of the things that convinced me to go over to the iPad is because I've been using Bluetooth keyboards with the iPad previous models like the Air 2 and the what else, the other keyboard? I think I had the fourth generation 9.7, but when the sixth generation came out and the Logitech Logitech Slim Folio came out with it, and for those who don't know, this is the case that your iPad goes into a top section and you're able to put it in landscape mode into a little rubber strip above the top row of keys. I can't call them function keys. We'll get to that in a minute. But you put it above that, and it automatically connects the keyboard, and you're able to type. And basically, to me, that made it look like a laptop. And to me, that was the ending factor for me. If I had the iPad had a keyboard that, you know, you close and you open it up, and it looked like a miniature laptop or netbook, if, you know, for those who want a visual aspect of what it might look like, that was the deciding factor for me because I knew I didn't have to have a separate keyboard. I didn't have to pull it out my bag and, you know, turn on the on switch and make sure it was paired. With the Slim Folio keyboard, it's automatically connected. This particular one took some small batteries, and they were touted to last up to 6 months, even though some people have told me they lasted a shorter amount of time. But now the iPad Pro Slim Folio keyboard, that one, you can charge with your USB-C cable, the same one that comes with your iPad. So, I mean, I use my Mac now, and it's the one that I had back in 2014, the Mac Mini, and I will continue to use that one when it's necessary, but I see no reason to get a new one because, one, I don't use it enough, and two, it still just works.
Right, right. So we're going to be offering, of course, for those who are listening to this, we're going to be starting on Monday. That's April the 6th at 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 Central. That would be 1 Mountain and noon Pacific time. And, of course, if you're in a different country, just ask Siri. But
Or you could go to your clock app and just pull up the world clock.
You can go to the world clock. That's right.
I guess since you're touting about this iPad class, we better publish this tomorrow.
That's right, I said we better. So this is a class where we've now called it iPad for All Computing, but it really originally was called Replacing Your Traditional Computer with an iPad. And the only reason I even changed the name is because I didn't want people to think it was limited to just that. I didn't, you know, that was so important to me that we can replace and we have Cliff and his, you know, and my family and I, we have replaced our computers with iPads. There is not even.
Yeah. Matter of fact, everybody in the house has an iPad except Sherry. She wanted the new MacBook Air.
Oh, yes.
She said she wanted to do the computer thing. Yep. So, and I know, you know, when we're in the room and I'm not on my iPad, she just grabs it and does a few things, which is usually Amazon or Safari anyway.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not a big deal, but she loves that new MacBook Air with the scissor, the upgraded keyboard,
yes.
And Yeah. I mean, I've typed on it. It actually is nice and smooth. You can't even hear the key. If I didn't feel the keys under my hands, I wouldn't know there was keys on that keyboard. That's how quiet they are.
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah, we same with us. We have four iPads, you know, of different ages and flavors, you know. And Kylie is
Jessica. She has the oldest one, right?
She has the iPad Air 2. Carson has the 9.7 inch iPad Pro that I used to have. And Kylie actually has a sixth generation iPad, and she's very she's not really upset, but she is hoping at some point that she will get an iPad Pro, because she found out yesterday, and I didn't even know this, that there's a whole bunch of additional wallpapers that Apple provides on the iPad Pro that are not on the sixth generation iPad. I mean, she's on the latest version of 13.4, but they're just different ones. There's, I guess, some different, you know, different things that she was upset that she couldn't get those on her device, you know, but we,
Well, actually there's a blog post in 9to5Mac where it came out, I think a couple of weeks before, not a couple, but like a couple of days before the iPad Pro 2020 was released. And it said, get the new iPad Pro 2020 wallpapers or whatever. I always ignore
right.
it.
Right, yeah,
I've
seen that too sometimes when people make them available, you know, as zip files or whatever. And there are apps on the App Store too. She got an app then, which I think she's pretty happy with, that, you know, had a bunch of – in fact, there's even some that claim to have moving wallpapers, like you can have, you know, an explosion.
Oh, like a live photo?
Yep, exactly. So that's kind of neat. But – yeah, aside from that, folks, we're going to be teaching this class, and it really will teach you how to use your iPad as a full-time computer. We're going to start with the basics.
Now, because we've been talking about voiceover and being blind using devices, is this course just for blind individuals?
It is not. So certainly there's going to be a strong emphasis on that, but it is not exclusive to voiceover to voiceover users. You know, we will accept anybody. And we have had some sighted folks who came in as teachers of the visually impaired already. So we, you know, absolutely will teach you both methods of how to do things. And we post a lot of, we use two platforms, Zoom, which I think everybody in the world is using at this moment, and iTunes U or iTunes University, where we post, you know, tons of audio and video and written documentation and books and web links and so on. And yeah, we, you know, we'll start with, you know, email and Safari and, you know, music and TV and all that. But we'll work all the way up to, you know, Pages, Numbers, Keynote. We'll create a simple spreadsheet. We'll create a simple movie in Apple Clips. What else? GarageBand, because we teach them how to make a ringtone, right? We do the.
Yep, yes, definitely. So if somebody wants to join this class, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, the best way, I think at this point, since it's getting so close, we want to get things to happen as quickly as possible, is to get in touch with and I'll just say it here, the tech juggernaut at iCloud.com. That's TheTechJuggernaut at iCloud.com. If you already have an Apple device, we prefer you use your Messages app, which is iMessage, you know, to contact that address rather than using email, because you'll get a response a bit more quickly. But if you don't, you can certainly send an email to that as well, for these purposes anyhow, and we will we'll get you enrolled as quickly as we can. Now, the I have the 2018 iPad Pro, which you talked me into, really. I mean, I saw yours. It was really more of what it was when we had our first tech summit. And I saw the iPad. I loved the, you know, the audio quality, and of the four speakers, and the Slim Folio Pro at the time too, was very, very different from the other Slim Folio. And I really liked the whole setup. And so when I was eligible, because I had financed, for those who don't know, I had financed mine through my carrier. So I had a cellular model, Wi-Fi plus cellular, which is the other neat thing about these, by the way, is that they really are, you know, go anywhere devices. You're not going to find many computers and very few Chromebooks, if any, that will offer a cellular connection, so that even when you are not on Wi-Fi, you can be you know, right now I know it's a bit of a vague term talking about traveling when so many are not allowed to travel right now. But it's, you know, you remember when we used to travel and, you know, when I'm sure we will again soon, and having that cellular connection. So just anywhere, you don't have to even worry about hotspot or anything. It just works. And that was one of the things that pushed you to get your to upgrade your iPad now, right? Was going with cellular.
That is that's actually the only thing that the reason why I did is because I wanted the cellular model. If I didn't want the cellular model, I would have stayed with the 2018 because they're virtually identical. There claims to be more speed under the hood. Of you know the you know there's one thing that I did see earlier today. I don't know if you saw the same article that. Supposedly that when you close your iPad, it mutes your microphone for privacy issues because there had been some issues on the Mac when they were closing their lid on the MacBook Pros and MacBook Airs that the microphone was still active and there were some privacy issues. But supposedly with this iPad and with the newer iPad or MacBooks, MacBook Pros and MacBook Airs, when you close your lid, the microphone automatically disengages, so there's no, you know, eavesdropping
right.
per se.
Yes, I actually did see that article. In fact, I didn't even read it yet, but I did see that disconnect option there or feature, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, and then also with the 2020 model of the iPad Pro, there's a second camera, and that I never can think remember what it does, but I what it's actually it has to do with augmented reality. Scanning up to 5 meters around you, so it has that extra camera,
right? That extra lens
on the camera.
They call
so
it the lead AR scanner, and I don't thoroughly understand it yet either. And some of the reviews I've read actually say that it's more about what the future holds than what you can do with it today, even.
Right. Right. I seen an article that said the iPad Pro is more about the future than it is about now. So or the 2020 model is more about the future.
Right.
So.
Right. Exactly.
But it you know it was always a great iPad. I mean I love the iPad Pro. I mean if I still had the 2018 it would still be my number one go-to
yeah,
machine.
Yeah, absolutely.
So and then they're even coming out with a newer case for the different place the second lens for the camera, but it's not available till April 20th. So right now I'm just using a regular folio case with you know my Bluetooth keyboard until that one is available.
Right,
so.
Right. And
and again, Apple, it only costs $119, not $189. Yeah. But anyway,
yep.
So let's talk about what I mentioned a few minutes ago about. They're not being function keys on the Slim Folio, but a top row of iOS shortcuts, I think Logitech calls it.
Yeah, so the iOS platform, and of course that also is iPad OS because it's the same foundation, does not really recognize the existence of the traditional, what we would think of as F1 through F12 and the escape key and all those other, you know, they...
I mean, Logitech even took it a step further by completely removing the function key from the keyboard
That's right.
layout.
They actually have done that now, as did Apple. And, of course, Apple actually removed the entire row of function keys on their keyboard, iPad keyboards. You don't even receive them. But what some companies have done, as Cliff pointed out, Logitech being one of them, is that they have then taken advantage of this to make dedicated shortcut keys, like he said, iOS shortcuts. So you might have a key that takes you home. You might have a key that activates Siri, or, you know, you might have media control and volume up and down buttons and, you know, different. They're all a little bit different on each keyboard model, but, you know, search, screen brightness, there's all sorts of different things they can put on that row.
Right. And then there's even the on-screen keyboard hide or unhide on the screen, because sometimes people that are using the keyboard sometimes need that on-screen keyboard. Specifically, what I mainly unhide show the on-screen keyboard for is autofill, because that doesn't appear when you're using the keyboard. So when you show the on-screen keyboard, you tap above the letter O or just to the left of the letter
right.
Q, then autofill is there. You double tap that, and then you can use Face ID to log into whatever website exactly. you may be
so
on.
So you can access your keychain and all your saved passwords and everything.
Yep. So, but yeah, I mean, like I said, it's not even called function keys no more. It's iOS shortcuts. On the sixth generation, I think the function key is still down in the bottom left corner, but on the iPad Pro, and I don't know about the seventh gen because I've never owned it, but I know that on the iPad Pro 2018 and 2020 keyboard, there is no function key.
That's correct. They replaced that with an emoji key. And yeah, with the sixth generation one, there was a function key down there, but I never, ever saw it used or even referenced in Logitech's documentation for the device. So I don't know whether the thinking was that it might be implemented someday and then it never was. I really don't know.
So now, as a teacher that Jessica is she able, I mean, I know she has to use her computer for certain stuff at school, but would she rather just use the iPad based on the fact that we teach a course about that? I mean, I know Sherry, once I started teaching in class, she was like, well, you know, this, that, and the other. But right now she does certain things online from home that she needs the computer platform for. But if she had it her way, it would be iPad all day.
Yeah, I she's very partial to the iPad. She definitely prefers the iPad over other things and definitely prefers Apple products over, you know, any of the other alternatives anyway. But she does what she needs to do. And, you know, there are certain things that, you know, even if they could be used, which most of them actually you could use on, an iPad, but they've kind of, you know, they've already set them up on the school computers that they give the teachers and so forth. So it's just easier to, you know, to just kind of go with the flow there. But she's, she does what she needs to do, and she's able to get all that accomplished. So it's a, you know, our school district, I mean, I wish they had iPads. I have made no secret of that, but they have come leaps and bounds from where they were before that, which was very, very old, very slow, clunky Windows laptops, and not even one-to-one. They had like these cart things, you know. And so by getting the Chromebooks, you know, and I go into the school and teach some classes on occasion too, and so on, and it really did drastically improve their their technology portfolio and what we were able to do because of that. And there's so many features on iPad that can be used cross-platform. So of course, as you know, my preference is using iCloud, and there are ways that iCloud and, you know, the so-called iWork apps, they don't use that term much anymore, but I think it's still used, but, you know, Pages, Numbers, and Keynote.
I actually do, because I sent a blog post the other day that said the iWork suite was updated for, you know, the iPad.
Updated to allow trackpad and cursor support.
I was just about to say, we almost forgot to mention that.
We'll have to revisit that one in a moment. But yeah, so the iWork apps and, you know, others as well, I'm able to interface with other teachers, even if they're using Windows or Chrome or what have you. But I can also, you know, if I want to do it and the teacher really prefers it, I can just as easily install Google Docs or, Google Drive, Google Classroom. The accessibility of Google Docs, in my personal opinion, is not quite what it is in Pages.
Yeah, Google Sheets is not the greatest either.
But
so, and that's Google's version of Numbers in Excel, but it's not there yet.
if that was the only option, at least it can be used on the iPad. And then there are features like Keynote Live, which I just love, because Keynote Live is Apple Keynote, folks, is the equivalent of Google Slides and Microsoft PowerPoint. And, you know, so it's a multimedia presentation app, and I have created presentation. And then what Keynote Live lets you do is actually share a link with anybody. It doesn't matter where they are in the world. They don't have to be in the same place as you, and they don't have to be on the same platform. As long as you got a recent modern web browser, it will actually play the entire presentation, audio and everything, on your device. And I am running it, or whoever's hosting the presentation is running it. So it's not like you've just downloaded it, going through it at your own pace. It's I, as the host of it, am controlling the experience. So I can go to the next slide when I feel it's appropriate and so on. So yeah, there's a lot that we can do even though they're on Chromebooks and I use an iPad.
Right. So another reason, and this just got implemented last week. Well, it started early back in September. 13.4 is first release. And for whatever reason, Apple decided to put it in under the accessibility category, I guess thinking it was a way for people with motor skills or slower reaction to be able to use a mouse. But I think the non-accessibility people got a little offended because they started using it more. So Apple implemented in the last iOS update, 13.4. Is that right? Yeah, 13.4. The trackpad support, and there's even keyboards that cost $300 that have a trackpad built into them. So, as you guys can see, I'm not a real big fan of that price point, but I mean, another $100 and I can go get me a 128 seventh generation iPad, but you know, anyway. But yeah, the trackpad support is there, and I've seen and heard great things from people who do. I mean, I'm not a trackpad person. Even when I had a computer, I never used a trackpad, magic mouse, none of that. They call me the keyboard king for a reason. I'm telling you, if there's a shortcut or a way to do it with the keyboard, I'm gonna find it. But there are some people who live and die by that trackpad.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's a great thing to finally implement. And you said it the other day, with this being introduced, I mean, the days of the traditional computer could be numbered.
I very strongly believe that. I don't even think Apple is ready to say that publicly yet. But I started saying it. I even hesitated to say it, even though I believed it. The moment that I first voiced it publicly was when Adobe stood on stage and said, we're going to release Photoshop for the iPad. Because that, and I know it, Photoshop still has a ways to go on the iPad. I know they're adding features. It was, not everything was released at once. But I'm just saying, the fact that that's their mindset now, rather than what it used to be, which is, okay, we're going to release something really, really lightweight. You got to do the heavy lifting on your desktop, and then you can use the iPad to show it to people. Now they're realizing this is a professional creativity device. And I think that is the beginning of the end for traditional computers, as they're known.
I know if they release stuff like Logic Pro and what's the other one? The Clips, the Big Brother, the Clips. What's it called?
Final Cut Pro.
Yeah, Final Cut. If they release Final Cut Pro and Logic Pro for iOS, that's definitely gonna drop. Have people put the Mac down and come over to the iPad. One of the things that. And I was about to say I'm not going to pick on Windows, but I am. But the one thing that I know I love about iOS is the fact that I can open up a PDF anywhere on iOS, whether it's my phone or iPad. With Windows, you always got to have, what is it? Not Adobe. It's that PDF. I forgot what it's called. I haven't used Windows.
It is Adobe. It's Adobe Reader. Yeah.
Yeah. So you got to have that. If you don't have that on your PC, then you can't open a PDF. I mean, Mac even took that a step further. But they got QuickView. We don't need no PDF reader over there. You just open it up. Or you can open it up in Safari. It doesn't really matter because there's a way to do it. So these are things that allowed me to have to not worry about having a computer and, doing things on the move. And that's why I wanted a cellular iPad this time, because if I'm out and about, I can just open up my computer, and this is not a plug for anybody, but it is a great VPN. It's Express VPN. I can do that, so I'm not exposing any of my private data to anybody, and do what I want to do, whether I'm in Starbucks, Caribou, Subway, like Matt said, when we're able to travel again. But it's just convenient.
Yeah, it is.
And it's an easier thing don't get me wrong, MacBook Airs and MacBook Pros have become much a lot lighter over the years, but there's nothing like an iPad, the weight and the easeability that it is to carry around.
That's for sure. And the vast number of apps, you mentioned the Final Cut and Logic, which of course we do already have GarageBand and iMovie and Clips, but I found this app and actually got it today. Which I'm going to play with. It's a video editor that's supposed to be the next level, like what you can do in iMovie, then this goes, you know, beyond that. It's a third-party app, but it's on the App Store, and I have seen a lot of people using it with their iPad Pros.
Let me guess, it was free with some in-app purchases.
It was actually not free. No, it was, in fact, it wasn't, it was one of the more expensive, you know, apps that you would see on iPad OS at $29, but I got it because I wanted to see what I could do with it from an accessibility standpoint. And
I was just going to say, you're willing to roll the $30 price on that accessibility without even talking to anybody who's used it or the developer to see if they're going to implement voiceover, you know,
well,
features
I
in
was
it?
Because of the degree to which it was praised by the folks who used it. So I figured even if I wouldn't be able to use it, at some point, if I needed something done, I could talk one of my family members into using it. But I, so far, it appears to be accessible. I mean, there are even hints. There are, you know, things like that. Now, I haven't done anything yet. I haven't produced, you know, any results from it because I'm just learning the interface to it. But definitely the buttons are labeled. Definitely the, you know, you can see your media library, photo library, and that's all accessible and, you know, every all of that stuff. So it's a good start anyway. We'll see what happens.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, because $30 is a little steep. I've never seen an app cost that much on iOS.
No, they typically don't.
So, okay. Well, you have to keep us updated on how that one is going. So, any other thoughts about the trackpad or what you may need to tell somebody else to convince them to, you know, replace their traditional computer with an iPad? I mean, I didn't, like I said, once I took the first course and helped out with it, I dove into it that summer to make sure when it came around next year, I knew what I was talking about.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. There's, you know, a lot of stuff. They're just kind of assumptions that people make from when it was a certain way. You know, I mean, there are still people that ask me, can you print on an iPad? Well, you've been able to print on an iPad since like 2010 or 11, you know, and the number of printers that support that, of course, has just, you know, multiplied. And, you know, anything from whatever you want to be able to do, whether it's, you know, design or business work or just, you know, your stuff at home. I mean, it really is, you know, there's typically going to be a way to do it. We had said back in 2018 that there were like three things that you still needed a computer for, which mostly were like file server management, you know, remote server management, publishing books.
No, I think we lost Matt for a second here. Matt, you still there?
You lost me there for a minute because I had a I have do not disturb.
Yeah, there we go.
That was in my emergency bypass, so it was one of yes, it was.
Must have been one of them parents. If I missed my guess, it was probably mom.
Yeah, you're exactly right. But what was I saying? Just that the Oh!
They're the three things. I think you're on number two, and I think the one that you were on was the
app development. If you really want to go from start to finish developing an app for Apple, you still need a Mac right now because they don't have Xcode available on the iPad as of this moment. The other two have already been addressed since 2018. You can publish books to the Apple Bookstore now right from your iPad. You certainly can do server management. I mean, that's not that difficult of a thing anymore.
And I know some of these Windows users is going to say, well, I need to access an external hard drive, which
you can
bottom
do,
line is,
right.
No, you really don't because you got the cloud. But if you really need it, they have, you know, even they have external hard drive adapters that you can get a Lightning to USB. I bought a hard drive just for GP and I plugged it up once and it's Yeah, but anyway, it's an external drive that's USB-C connected, so I don't need an adapter for plugging it into my iPad because it's USB-C anyway. So, as a matter of fact, it came with an adapter for USB, but it's an original USB-C port that you just plug directly in, and it connects automatically. Now I've plugged it in once, like I said, to make sure that, you know, I could access it, and it shows right up in my Files app, and I can, you know, move files to or from it, and, you know, whatever. But it's not necessary because I have the cloud, so. And I got iCloud, but I also have, you know, a P Cloud account and a couple other cloud services that are pretty accessible, and I use them for the free space. But I mean, the iPad is just Apple in their App Store says your next computer is not a computer; it's their advertisement. So, I mean, they may not have said it, but they know.
Yep, that's for sure.
They know.
Yeah, connecting to external drives, projectors, whatever you need to do, it can be done. All right, well, is there anything else that we need to tell the folks?
Nope, just, you know, on your podcast, you know, the Tech Juggernaut and on Stir It Up, and we also talk, you know, Christian discussions and Bible studies on both our podcasts. I'm not shy about it, and I know you're not about praising the Lord and letting people know that we're a believer. So, I mean, if you don't know Jesus, then you can come and listen to one of those podcasts or one of our live broadcasts that we, you know,
and
have in Zoom and record and
eventually
publish.
Jesus,
so,
because there you're talking about a whole different level of change in your life. Praise God.
Exactly. He can do most things in his sleep, pal.
Yep.
In Christ who gives him strength. Amen. Philippians 4:13.
Yep. Thanks for being here.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on.
And that's gonna do it for now. We'll talk to you soon. Well, folks, that is going to do it for our podcast today. I want to once again thank my daughter, Kylie. Maybe we'll get Carson in there next time. We never know. I want to thank Trainer Cliff for joining us. Been a pleasure having both of you on the show today. We got lots more to come, still continuing with our wonderful iPad 10th anniversary celebration. So there'll be so much more coming, including a big surprise coming later this week. You don't want to miss that. But for now, thanks so much for tuning in. God bless you, everybody. Remember to check us out at ttjtech.net. Subscribe to the blog so you don't miss anything there. Follow us on Twitter at TalkTTJ, Periscope TTJ Talk, and of course, right here on the TTJ Talk podcast. That's going to do it for us, everybody. Take care. We'll see you next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.